blessing, Father, of your provision toward each one of us. And Father, tonight we consecrate ourselves and Father, our families unto you. In the name of Jesus, we pray for Table View. Father, we pray that even the spiritual divide, or Father God, even the divide as big as an earthquake, Father, between us and those who don't know you, Father, is so big here on Table View. And Father, still, it feels like a wall between us, Father. It feels like, Father, we are living in our holy bubble. And tonight we want to pray in Jesus' name that you will break down the divide, that you will, Father God, bring us over the earthquake toward a place where we can really embrace and experience, Father God, your people that you've made to come back to you. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, just open the eyes, Father, of everyone living in Table View to see your presence, Father, to experience a little bit, Father, of the goodness, the faithfulness of you, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. Thanks a lot. It's great to be here with you. It's always such a blessing to come here. I think it's about more than a year ago that I've been there with you guys, right? It's long ago. It's still in the old venue. But it's such a blessing. I want to speak to you tonight about something that I really keep close to my heart, something that the Lord is challenging me about. And I'm still not getting it right, but I'm focusing myself on that which God wants to do in me through my life. And I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. Mark chapter 14, verse 3 to 9. If you put the word here, please read out of the word. I'm going to focus on this piece of scripture in Mark chapter 14. Being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it out on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. You have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Let me just read that last part again. "What this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Piece of scripture out of Mark chapter 14, which is very precious to just the time that Jesus is going through, and the historical context of this time that Jesus is spending with his disciples, especially in this house of this leprous man that got healed. And he wanted to just spend some time with Jesus in thanking him. He asked him to come to his house, and his disciples were sitting here with Jesus. And now this woman, Mary, comes to Jesus, and she throws very costly oil over Jesus' head. And this is precious because it's also a year worth of wages that she's spending on Jesus. Also, in the historical context, we must know that this was also the only thing that a woman could take into her marriage life. The oil that she had to use to anoint her husband. The oil that she had to use to anoint him as the head of the house. So Jesus was sitting here, and this woman came to anoint him, and some of the disciples were just furious about this act that was done toward Jesus. You must also remember that this was the time just before Jesus went to the cross. Because for 4 days, Jesus went through a lot of scrutiny, a lot of examination from one leader to the other, to be examined, to be blameless. And we know that Pontius Pilate washed his hands and he said, I find no fault in this man after 4 days. It's significant because this was also the use in Hebrew culture that in this time that Jesus came into Jerusalem, coming from Bethany, was a time 4 days before his death, a time where every household had to take a little lamb, and for 4 days they had to examine that lamb to make sure that it's spotless, to present as an offer unto God, to present unto the high priest so that their sins will be forgiven for them. But it was important that when they bring this little lamb as a family into Jerusalem, that there's nothing wrong. So Jesus went through the same scrutiny for 4 days, and this was just before the 4 days. This was the time finally before Jesus went into his very troubled life, and before he went to the Mount of Olives, where he was tested and blood was shed. And this was a very precious and vulnerable time for Jesus because he was busy examining the relationships around him as well. Later that same day, Jesus was spending time with his disciples again, and they used the Lord's Supper, as we know it. He shared with them the bread and the wine. And this was a time when Jesus was especially aware of God's assignment upon his life, God's plans and purposes for him. We know that the fourth day, Jesus at the third hour, which is 9 o'clock, went to the cross. And later that day, the ninth hour, because the day started at 6, you know, in the Hebrew culture, that was the zero hour, and then 3 hours later, the third hour, 9 o'clock. And later on, 3 o'clock that afternoon, Jesus died and he shouted out, Tetelestai, it is finished. And this was also the time when the high priest couldn't present or offer any lamb to God because the curtain was torn apart and also the altar was broken in two. So that year, no lambs were offered and there was no sacrifices unto God because Jesus came to fulfill his life's destiny to become the lamb, the one who stood in the gap, the one who died for our sins on behalf of every little family bringing their lambs to Jerusalem. It was significant because also the high priest, just days before that, tore his clothes apart, saying that I don't want to have anything to do with this man's blaspheming God. Jesus saying to him, I am the Son of God. And he torn his clothes apart, and that disqualified him as the high priest. That was the sign that Caiaphas, the high priest, was not actually in the office anymore. And Jesus came to fulfill that office when he died on the cross as the high priest for each one of us. I'm telling you this context because when Jesus sat with his disciples together with this woman that came to anoint him, there was a context in which Jesus was so focused upon the Father's love and the Father's acceptance and the Father's promise for his life. And he wanted them to understand and see it. Just before this act, Jesus had some time with Peter. And he was telling Peter, Peter, I'm going to go through a lot of trial. But Peter, I want you to be focused. I want you to be focused on the things that's actually on my agenda, not your agenda. And he said to him, get behind me, Satan. And Peter said to him, oh no, Jesus, nothing will go wrong with you. I'll be the one to protect you. I'll make sure that even if I have to cut off ears, I'll protect you, Jesus. No such thing is going to happen with you. And Jesus said to him, you don't understand the things of God. You don't know the agenda. You don't know what's dear to me. Because if you did, you would understand the same thing that Mary understood when she came to anoint the head of Jesus Christ. Because everyone was just furious with her. Everyone in their own minds was just shifting to making calculations. and starting to quarrel among themselves in what is actually precious to Jesus at this time. And Jesus said to him, "Leave her alone." I want to say to you, you know what, when it comes to the kingdom, and when it comes to us serving Jesus Christ, so many times we cannot see what is on the agenda of Jesus Christ because we are using our head. We are starting to reason. We are starting to make calculations on what is precious. It was so precious to me the other day. We sat around the table with Oda Mullen, and we had a city planner with us discussing the little property that we now just want to, you know, trust God for, either to develop or, you know, to even sell it if God wants, and use the money to buy something else if God wants. But as we were sitting around the table with this guy, he was saying to us, you know what, this is actually too precious for a church to be built on. And I was sitting there and I was just thinking, you know what, that would be true if our brains are switched on and if we start to make calculations. Not true if that is the will of Jesus Christ. And so many times we start to calculate around Jesus Christ and we don't understand what is his agenda because we want to play chess on a Monopoly game. Tonight, it's so precious, Johan, for what you've shared with us. When we get into the kingdom, and that is actually helping me so much tonight just to get your minds to where God wants it to be. That when we start to think kingdom, we start to embrace the values of Jesus and understand what is precious and dear to him. And I found that many a time I miss God because I want to play the worldly game in just the parameters of God's kingdom, and I miss him altogether. You know what? The story, it's the old story of us being in control of our lives. The story of the pendulum. And I remember years ago, I had this aunt in Stellenbosch. She had this fancy piano. And on this piano, there was this, what they call, now I always forget this. It's not a pendulum, it's a metronome. It's a thing that goes from the one side to the other and it keeps the rhythm. Tick, tuck, tick, tuck. And you make sure that you keep up to that rhythm when you play the piano. But it just looked so fancy to me as a child, seeing this thing going from the one side to the other. But you know what? In our lives, when it gets to serving Jesus Christ, we find ourselves going from one side to the other so often. And the bottom half of this, the baseline, is the one of control, the one of self-focus. Because the one side of this pendulum says, I'm in total control. I'm arrogant enough to believe that everything that God gave me is enough for me to be successful in this lifetime. That my skills, the way in which I do things, will always be anointed because I'm just this anointed man of God. The other side of the pendulum is the one of self-pity, the one of fear that I will never be good enough, that everything that I do just never comes to success and godliness, that, oh God, the more I try, the less I get right. I want to say to you tonight, you know what? It stays the same root, the root of self-control. The root where you and I determine what is important in life. And I've seen it, you know, through my life, that the things that usually exposes that baseline is either money, the one where I am in control and I can make decisions and buy whatever I want and do whatever I want with what I get. The other one that so often exposes our heart is the one of relationships.
where I am so in control of the relationships around me because I've got authority. I've been given a platform to wield authority over other people, and I can make decisions on behalf of them. You know what's so sad about this all is that is exactly where the world brings us to a place where we must be molded into such a place where we always focus on self and self-control. And Jesus challenged us. Because when the pendulum swings in our lives, we get to find the root is so shakable. Is to such an extent where you and I find ourselves exactly where the disciples were when they criticized this woman, not understanding the things that is on the heart of Jesus Christ, but focusing on the things that is dear to us, that we can calculate. And it's strange to me, and I want to just mention this tonight, that many times I work with people in the kingdom, and not even in church circles. And it's fine if you talk about great things and strategies for the kingdom, and but I call it the professional fee syndrome. That when it gets to their professional capacity, I had a guy the other day who was, drawing up some architectural plans for what we want to do there. And it's as if, you know, when we get to our professional capacity, the box at work, the skills that we have, then you get the invoice very soon, the 30,000 rand invoice. But when we work together and we start to plan for Jesus and for His kingdom, you know what? Our heads are up in the sky and we don't understand worldly things at all. But when the tire hits the tar, we put our little box in of professionalism. That my skills and my way of doing. And I want to say to you tonight, you know, when it gets to Jesus and about His kingdom, I find it often so strange that we can put ourselves into a place that when we are there, out in the world, busy working in the workplace, then we want to switch off our brains according to the plans and purposes of Jesus in our lives. But when we are church, we are spiritually so switched on. We can call that nine gifts, and we can, it's nine. We can be so spiritual with one another, but when it gets to impacting the world out there, we miss Jesus Christ altogether. And this is exactly where the disciples were at this stage. They were around Jesus, they saw all the miracles, they saw Jesus, you know, all the time, listening to Jesus, saying to them, listen, I'm going to be away within days from now. I'm going to die actually on a cross. But know that this is actually what God wants for my life. But for the disciples, it's so difficult to understand it because their boxes were switched on in professional mode. Making calculations around Jesus, trying to be so clever. But you know what? Mary could understand the agenda of Jesus Christ. She could immediately tap into a place of humility and worship unto Jesus, where she could give her life to Him. Remember, this was the most costly thing, the most precious thing for her. This is the only thing that she could take into the marriage. She was a single woman. This was her hope for a life with her husband. She gave it to Jesus because it's precious. Because this is what Jesus said to her. I will even reward you in eternity. The second thing is, verse 6, she has done it to me. This beautiful thing that she did it unto me. This was a time when Jesus anticipated, or when Mary anticipated just the anointing, the burial oil of Jesus. You know what, while they were spending time here as disciples together with Jesus, there was Martha in the kitchen. Now Martha had a problem with what Mary did. But I want to tell you, you know what, if you read about the story of Martha and Mary, you read Martha being in the kitchen, providing food for those who sat with Jesus, and being so furious that why could Mary sit at the feet of Jesus while I must serve everyone around her? Jesus' problem was not with Mary sitting at his feet or Martha being in the kitchen, because being in the kitchen is a noble thing. But you know what? What is so precious is the fact that at this stage, Jesus could see what is going on in Martha's heart. Martha was busy judging Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know what I want to say to you tonight? So many times we as Christians find ourselves at a place of judgment, judging one another, you know, for what we do in this life for Jesus and with Jesus. And we miss altogether that if we do exactly what is on his heart, we won't have to think about Mary. We can only be Martha. We can only be at that place where Martha could accept who Jesus Christ wanted her to be. And this is precious to me because I just know that, you know, that when it gets to Martha, Jesus really had a heart for her. This was also the sister, both sisters were the sisters of Lazarus, the one that Jesus rose from the dead. You know what? Jesus loved them so much that he wept over Lazarus until Lazarus raised. I want to tell you tonight, you know what? Jesus loved Martha for what she did, serving the people around Jesus. But many times I find within the kingdom, we judge others according to the things that they do, but we judge ourselves according to the intentions of our heart. Are you with me? We judge others according to the things that they do, but we judge ourselves according to our intentions. I did not really mean to hurt you. I did not really mean to hurt you. And then when others do something strange against us, we judge them according to that action, not according to the intentions of their heart. I want to say to the Church of God, we so many times miss God altogether because we are busy comparing and competing with one another. We must rather embrace one another and embrace the purposes that God has for our lives so that we will be at a safe place worshiping God with the gifts that we receive from him. It's precious to me the fact that Mary, as a worshiper, understood that God, everything I have is unto you. And I want to tell you tonight, for us as Christians, I just wish that each one of us, as we purposefully serve God, that God will bring us to fulfillment, that place where we can find ourselves to be worthy as children of God, to understand our purpose and to start to serve God purposefully. The third thing that I want to mention to you, she did what she could in verse 8. She surrendered her possessions and her abilities to Jesus to the glory of his name. Now, one thing that I myself serve God for every day is just to find out what he wants for my life, is the fact that I know that as I serve God, I must serve him according to the things that he asked me to do. Not the things, you know, that I every day think I must do. I want to help my wife in the kitchen, you know, washing the dishes. I always know that my wife likes things to be done according to the way that she wants things to be done. You know, it's not my way. I must take the dishes and I must actually afterwards just make sure that I cleanse it with some clean water. But I don't like doing that. But that's not serving her. And I want to, are you washing the dishes here in Tableview as well? It just feels like I'm the only one. Do you have dishwashers here? if I want to be a real blessing to her, then I must make sure that I do things according to how she wants it to be done. Are you with me here tonight? Have some of you done that before? It's a place where I engage into her world, understanding what is precious to her, and then I start to serve her unconditionally according to what I think is important to her. Serving Jesus Christ comes to the same thing. You know that I believe that if every time you get a task and you don't do it wholeheartedly and you don't do it according to what the Master wants it to be done, He won't ask you again. Why not? Not because He hates you, but because He can ask a million others who can do it well. And tonight I want to say to you, when we serve Jesus Christ, we must understand that there is a place of engagement where we do the things that's on His heart purposefully. The things that is precious to Him. And therefore, and I like what John Bevere says. He says, you will not be judged according to the things that you did in this lifetime, but according to the things that you've been asked to do. Are you with me? A place where you and I receive from God that which is important to Him for my life. I remember driving about 10 years ago. I drove with Angus Buchan from his farm. I stayed there. And at that stage, he just had this one book, Faith Like Potatoes, and was not that famous yet. But I remember we wanted to bring him down to the Cape. At that stage, nobody in the Cape knew him. And we wanted to host him in Franschhoek for a big thing among the farmers. And I went up to his farm and I stayed there for a few days just experiencing the man. It was such a blessing. And I remember driving back from his farm to the airport. He took me back to the airport. And as we drove to the airport, we spoke about a lot of things. That stage I was, so young and so fresh in the Lord, just, grasping everything that God could speak into my life. And I remember we were driving past a squatter camp at that stage, and he was asking me, so Hercules, just tell me, are you called for what is going on here? And he was pointing to the squatter camp. And immediately I was just saying, yeah, every need. And he said, no, you're wrong. I want to tell you today, you're not called to everything that is around you. Ask God what He wants for your life and start to fulfill these dreams for your life. That was precious to me because when I engage into such a place where I ask God, God, what do you want for my life? I look at guys like Peter and Paul that really understood the dreams and the heart of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. You know what? This was Peter saying that I will die very soon. Just as Jesus Christ showed me. Now this is precious to me because I know that this man knew exactly what God wanted for his life. Saint Peter was the one who missed Jesus altogether. The one who said, get behind me, Satan, you don't know the will of God. The man who knew at the end of his life, I've done everything that God wanted me to do. This is a sign of maturity. If I in my life can just be so mature to know exactly what God called me to do. The same thing happened to Paul. Paul, Acts 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God, to finish my race with joy. Now the same Paul went to Jerusalem. And his friends told him, no. There's a lot of hardship coming in Jerusalem. Don't go there. Rather just skip the city. But Paul said, you don't know the ways of Christ. You don't understand. This is exactly what I've been called to do. This is exactly God's plan for my life, and I will fulfill it because I know that as I engage, I will understand the faithfulness, and the remembrance of Christ within my life, I want to finish this race with joy. And he went through a lot of hardship because he was captured, and he went to Rome, where he defended the gospel, through a lot of hardship. But Paul knew this was exactly what God called him to do. When we engage into God's plan for our lives, it's not an easy route. It's not always, like we say in Afrikaans, maanskyn en rose. There's a place where you engage with God and His purposes, and it's hardship. It's not an easy route. But it brings us to joy in the fulfilling and the fulfillment of God within our lives and through our lives. And this is exactly where Mary was anointing Jesus Christ. Because we can either, you know, always moan and complain and feel, you know, fearful because we don't make it and listen to the accusations of the devil that you are not good enough, that there's too short of a time left in your life to really become godly. A few months ago, I remember a woman coming to me saying, "You know what, I just want to give you some steps. If a child does not receive principles in his life before the age of 7, you can forget about that kid, because he will miss, you know, structure in his life forever. He will not be able to receive God wholeheartedly." And I was just listening to this woman. Other thing that she said, which is true, is that 80% of all people before the age of 18 receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, for the people that got saved. A good statistic. But I can say and testify out of my own life that God is a Savior beyond all the stats that we listen to every day. That which God wants to do in our lives is not according to the accuser and the stats that we receive, but according to God's plan and purposes, because He will bring it to fruition. That when we engage into such a life of fulfillment, that God opens the doors. As I prayed earlier on for Esther, just the picture that I've seen for the gates in her life. I know that God is faithful, even in my life, to restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Because God can change anything in a short space of time. Just because He's precious. Just because He's awesome. Because He's just a God of glory. And when it gets to the purposes of God, Mary understood it because she knew that Jesus, you can do anything. I don't worry about the criticism of these people around me. As long as you work in my life, as long as you and your anointing surrounds my life. And I want to tell you tonight, you know what is so precious? About guys like Peter and Paul, they got it all wrong. But they got it all right. There's sometimes that I, you know, stand before God and I think, hey, you know, I'm this guy in the ministry, I get it all right. Soon to discover that I'm actually nothing. God still needs to deal with so many things in my life. That's still beyond my own imagination in thinking that I am actually doing anything for God. I can just partner with Him and see He's awesome. He's precious. And this is what Mary experienced. And the last thing that I want to talk about is what she has done will also be told. Verse 9. The eternal purpose in her life. The fact that she internalized decisions to such an extent where she understood eternity. Where she understood what it means when God is on a roll. You know, it was for me so evident. I read this little book of Volunteer Explosion. What is it? From Bill Hybel. Small little book. It's actually awesome. Just to read the little book. And he speaks of volunteers in churches and ministries, and one guy came to him, confronted him about the ministry, saying, "Don't you feel bad? His church has about 8 staff members on 30,000 people. Now, this is awesome if you know that the rest of the people involved in the ministry is actually all volunteers. And a guy came to him and he said, "Don't you feel bad that people doing everyday, a professional work, come at nighttime and over weekends to come and serve your church, your vision, and your purposes?" And he said, at first he felt very bad. He went back home and he went to go and pray about it. Went back to the guy. He said to him, "You know what, I just want to tell you, I actually don't feel bad at all. You know why? Because I can see the difference. When people start to engage, even if it's just for 1 minute, 10 minutes in a week, engage in a partnership with Jesus Christ and see Him working through them, that fulfills them for eternity." I want to say to you, you know what? There's nothing like serving Jesus. I'm not saying that you must work for the church. I'm saying that it's lifestyle. It's actually a place where you and I understand that when Jesus works through us, it doesn't matter. Because we are seeing eternity unfolding all around us. We can see God's purposes. It's awesome. It's just awesome. And this is what happened to Mary. But I want to tell you that as you start to engage in fulfilling His agenda, a few things will happen. But I want to take you to verse 10. Which I didn't read. I actually didn't put it on the slides. Do you have an English Bible? Maybe? Mark chapter 14. If you have the word with you here tonight, just turn with me to chapter 14 again of Mark. I've missed one of the most important verses. And I actually... missed this purposefully. Verse 10. Maybe we should just go back to verse 9 again. I assure you, whenever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told in a memory of her. And then verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to hand him over to them. When they heard this, they were glad and promised to give him silver. So he started looking for a good opportunity to betray him. Listen to me. I just want to tell you tonight, you know what? When Mary started to engage into the agenda of Christ, she exposed the heart of Judas Iscariot. I just want to read you... John chapter 12, verse 46, which is the parallel of this story. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. Listen to me tonight. Judas was this one guy in Jesus' reign. That for 3 years, he was exposed to the glory and the awesome testimony of Christ in his life. If there was anything supernatural to be experienced, he saw them all. But for 3 years, he was busy making some sums in his head about Jesus and his ministry, telling himself, these people are just a crazy bunch. You know what? They're going to go down. Sometime they're going to go down, and then I want to be the first to take advantage of this situation. You know what? There was an arrogance in his heart that engaged him into his own plans and purposes. Being exposed to so much, I want to say to you tonight, even being exposed to the glory of Christ all around you, he can be over you, around you, and you can still make some sums around Jesus Christ. Betraying him at the most important time. Because of a monopoly being played on a chess game. having your mind to focus, you know, on what we believe is real in this world. The real people. In Judas' heart, he was exposed to the real people. He just after that went to the real people in his life. The people with acknowledgement in the crowds. Those who had status in everyday life. Those who were seen as the rulers of the time. The high priest. And he quickly went to them. Because for 3 years in his mind he was around Jesus and he did not understand and experience the fullness of Christ. Because he was busy making sums. And I want to tell you tonight, you know, we're exactly the same. I'm just as fraught as all of you. Is that when it gets to the kingdom and Jesus' life all around us, we experience him, we feel him, we emotionally just engage into a life with him, but still we can miss him if you and I don't have faith in what Mary had. God, all about you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Your agenda, your agenda, your agenda. I remember years ago, those crazy days of Shofar. You weren't there that time. Crazy stuff that the guys did. I don't see some of the old guys here tonight. I've seen a few of them now at Tigerberg. I remember sitting in my hostel room, looking out of the window in the middle of the night, busy studying. Next morning, it's cram time. You know, you just make sure that you get through the studies now, doing a deernacht, because next morning you're going to write exams. And then as I was studying, some of the guys were walking all around the hostel with a cross on their shoulders and anointing oil and just anointing the hostel. And I was thinking, they're just crazy. I don't want to have anything to do with these guys. You maybe remember some of them. You were a nice pastor as well. We were in about. But you know what? It was just so awesome the day when my eyes opened to see that, you know, these guys are actually on the agenda of Jesus Christ. Actually, it's not about the cross or the oil or the midnight hours. It was all about a passion for Jesus. Even if they missed God altogether, they had a passion to fulfill his dreams and purposes. And you know what? There was some great warfare going on because God could use them. And I know in my own life, I want to tell you tonight, there's a place where Mary understood Jesus Christ to such an extent that I don't care what they think about me. I don't worry if they think I'm crazy. I'll do this thing just because I want to be the next one in line to fulfill God's purposes, to be part of history, to just see God fulfilling his dream in such a time. It's not about me. It's about Jesus going to the cross. You know, Judas missed Jesus altogether. Never gave Jesus the time. You steal from the coffer all the time. You don't have a fear in your heart even, and the respect in your heart to receive the greatness of Christ. And we know the condemnation that he went through, but you know what? God actually died for each one of us because that thing happens in our hearts every day as the pendulum swings. As that pendulum swings and me reasoning, I sat in the, what is it, salon, our salon, what is that thing? Hairdressers the other day. And I remember sitting there. And I don't know why God always, you know, wants to be so weird and wonderful in such times. But as I was sitting there, God says, this woman that's busy complaining about her back all the time, it's time to pray for her. Now I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, God, this must be crazy. All of these women sitting here now, busy doing their hair. I know what happens when I walk out of this place. They're going to talk about me. They're going to chit-chat. You know that skinnergeist, that gossip thing going on at a hairdresser's? Immediately in my mind, I was telling God, this is not supposed to happen. God, this woman will be fine. But the voice didn't stop. And the voice said, you know what, you've got this one opportunity to pray for her because I actually want to heal her. I had to be obedient. I prayed very fast. She very fast said, thank you. And I very fast went out of the hairdressers. Returning a few weeks after that, and she said to me, you know what, after you prayed for me, it's such a blessing. God actually can heal my back. You know, when we start, and I want to just be honest with you, I'm not an evangelist, so things like that comes to me very strange for me. But you know what? Such a blessing. When you engage into the purposes of God, understanding these things, the purpose of being fulfilled in everyday life. Understanding what Mary meant. This story is as old, you know, as the Berge, as the mountains. You see the same thing happening with this young man that said to the father, Father, I'm going to go to the city. And actually, I don't think that your kind of farming is so cool. I know it all. I'll go to the city and I'll go and spend the money, the inheritance that you've given me. I'll go and spend it in the city. I'll make us rich. The other boy stayed at home, Martha, counting everything that he was busy doing for the father. And that young man, through his arrogance, came back to the feet of the father. The father embraced him. Said, son, you now made history because you became a worshiper. You became somebody that ignites and fulfills my agenda. It's sad that you had to go through all of this. It's sad that you had to be left unto your own devices. You know, I'm actually so glad that you just came to your senses. The other boy at home, Martha. Why? You know, through all of these years, I'm not good enough. I cannot amount to nothing, Dad. Everything that I did is not good enough. And still you reject me and you rather take my brother and embrace him. You know what? When that young man came to the Father, he became Mary. Understanding the purposes of God. Knowing that when God embraces you and makes you part of His agenda, you start to experience the favor of God. Doesn't matter what the circumstances, it's going to be better than the pigsty. It's going to be better than anything I can ever imagine. Can we just quickly stand tonight? You know what? I don't know it all, and I must be honest with you, God is really, at this stage, just working in my own heart that I would just start to become a worshiper as well. But I want to tell you tonight, you know, we stand before God, being either one of two sides of the pendulum. And God actually just wants us to recognize that we don't have it all. Just come to me with an open heart. Embrace my purposes for your life. Let's just pray. Father, as we stand before you tonight, I want to just be the first to recognize that, God, I'm indignantly exposed. I'm so exposed, Father God, to your presence. So exposed, Father God, to the things that, Father, I want to, the agenda that I've got, my own fleshly desires to see my own life coming to fruition. I'm so, Father God, a control freak. Father, I so actually want to make my own decisions and see, Father, how life unfolds as I make the right decisions. But, oh God, tonight I know that Paul was so right when he said, the more I think I stand, the less I must be careful lest I fall. And Father, tonight I really want to stand before you as a worshiper, and I want to ask you, Jesus, that each one of us here will be able to just be honest with ourselves as we engage into such a place where we become worshippers. If we can just worship you because you are awesome and you are great, we don't have anything together that is good enough, Father God. But as you use us, Father, we find our lives fulfillment in the name of Jesus. As we stand here, I just want all of you to pray. Oh, let's just pray together. Oh, if you can't pray in the Spirit, don't worry tonight. Just pray in your own tongue. You are here tonight, and you know that you know what Jesus is speaking to you. You are really at a place of such a control freak status. You just feel like, God, I want to be so in control of my life, and still nothing is happening to me. Maybe you stand here tonight and you just feel, listen, God, I've tried enough. Father, I've majored, Father God, upon my own strength too much. And tonight I want to just, again, Father, just embrace your will for my life. Just embrace, Father God, your wholeness for my life. And I want you to just raise your hand where you stand. Just raise your hand. I'm actually going to ask all of you that raise your hands, just come to the front. We're going to pray with one another. This is a memorial stone tonight. This is not about being exposed. This is actually just a place where you and I can make a memorial stone before God and say, God, tonight I want to really engage into becoming a worshiper. I want to ask you just to turn to the person next to you. We need to pray for one another tonight. Just pray, turn to the person next to you. Is there anyone else? Just quickly. If there's some facilitators, just join the group. Tonight we're just going to trust God for prayer for one another. Does everyone have a partner? Jesus, can I just ask you to maybe pray with me soon? Is there anyone else tonight who want to just engage into becoming that worshiper to God? I'm going to just pray, and I want to ask you tonight that even as we end off, and the worship team will just play us a song to end with, but as we end off tonight, that you will even come to the front if you didn't, so that you will just be able to engage into that purpose of God for your life. I'm ready to pray over you and trust God to send you in that worship unto Him. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, tonight we are so privileged just to engage, Father, into your plans and purposes. We want to be released, Father. I want to ask you in Jesus' name, oh God, we don't want to miss you. Father, I want to pray that in this lifetime, Father, as the pendulum swings in our lives, Father God, that we will be able to dream purposes that you have for our lives, but Father, also to just, Father, tap into your awesome presence in and through us. I want to pray for every person here tonight as they give up themselves, Father. I pray that you'll make a mind shift within them to become the Marys. Father, we pray against the Judas in our lives. Father, the one of knowing better. Thinking that, Father, we know better because we've got all the skills and all the reasoning behind us. But, oh God, tonight I pray that your Spirit will lead your people. That within us, every one of us, Father, God, will get onto your game with your rules. Father God, with your paradigm, the kingdom paradigm. And I want to pray that as we engage, Father God, you will bring us and turn us away, Father, from the professional fee syndrome, Father, that you will really bring us to a place where we will be able to engage into society and change nations, Father. That we will be able to change the environment in which we work, Father God. That church will not be enough for us. That we will take church to every person in this society. Father God, the stats is against us in Table View. Father, so many broken relationships, so many broken families, Father. But still, this is not good enough, Father. We know that you have a plan and a purpose and a destiny for this town. Father, you want to truly see it come to fruition. And I want to pray for your blessing. Father, I pray for strategy. I pray that you will give us, Father, just the amazing revelation of your heartbeat for this area, Father. I pray that the communities will be transformed because of your children, in the name of Jesus. I pray for many Marys that will be ignited tonight, Father, that within our hearts we will just find ourselves on your page, that we will find ourselves on your agenda. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray here together. Please, if the worship team can just end up with a song. And I want to ask you, if you still need some prayer, just come to the front. We'll be praying with you. Otherwise, just worship with us as we end up the evening. Thank you, guys.